Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Now, it might not be Sunday night, but it is tonight because you might be listening to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, on Google Podcast, or wherever you find your favorite podcast, because that's where Max and Friends is now. So thank you for tuning in. I've been here almost 12 years, and I love doing Max and Friends, and I love doing shows like the one we're about to do tonight, because whenever there's a hot topic happening, well, then you know what happens. I have to bring it to you. And tonight we have a great hot topic because it is about cybersecurity, and I've been wanting to do this for a long time. We actually have done it on The Polished Woman, and that's going to air. It might have already. I don't know, but I'll let you know when that's going to air because my guest tonight actually was on The Polished Woman, and that's the show I produce at 1 o'clock on Mondays where we won Telly Award for Best Web Series. And I've been wanting to do this for a while, ever since I saw this story in Florida during the holidays of last year where a little girl was basically, what was she doing? Oh, someone came through their Ring camera and had said like, oh, hey, little girl, do you believe in Santa Claus? Now they are like, imagine, let's just like back up for a minute. Imagine being in your home and you have these devices, Ring, Alexa, Google, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody talking through your device. Now, imagine if you're a little girl and you don't know what it is, and someone's saying they're calling from the North Pole, and have you been a good girl? And then she said, yes. And they said, well, Santa Claus said that you need to break your television. And then, honey, they did just that. The little girl threw the TV off of the dresser, broke the TV, and then they were continuing to encourage her to misbehave. Then there was another story. This is all true, by the way. Then there was another story that happened in Florida. I believe it was Florida. And an interracial couple had their system, their devices. And then all of a sudden, they hear someone talking through their devices. Racial slurs. How is it to have an Oreo child? And this and this. And these people were just floored, like I was watching this footage. And you feel like you can unplug it, but does it really stop? Who's watching us? When are they watching? Who's listening? How long are they listening? Whenever you ask Alexa a question, how long does that stay in the database? Are our conversations being recorded? How is it that when I speak about landscaping, the next thing I see on my Instagram is an ad on where to buy trees? Well, Big Brother is watching, right? My guest tonight, Lilia Fry, is a manager of quality assurance engineering at PennyMac with over 20 years of experience in IT. She is very enthusiastic about digital products, quality, security, cloud computing, and leadership. She is naturally curious and loves continuous process of learning as well as sharing her knowledge with others. She is the leader of OWASP, Open Web Application Security Project, San Fernando Valley Chapter. She organizes meetup events to bring security awareness to the community, especially on topic of information, application, and cloud security. Lilia is part of the planning committee of APSEC California Security Conferences. And I love when we ask our guests for social media, no other social media. You can find her at LinkedIn at Lilia, L-I-L-I-Y-A, Fry, F-R-Y-E. So tonight we're going to talk about Ring, Alexa, garage door openers. We're going to talk about whether or not we should use our credit cards and versus debit cards online, email, texting, and phishing, public Wi-Fi, home Wi-Fi, biometric authentication of the future? Can we trust Amazon? How to stop Alexa from accidentally sending our private messages to some of our contacts? And if it's possible to hack into garage door opener software, honey, we've got a lot to talk about. But what I do want to talk about, actually, you know what? We're going to talk about during the show, because right now we've got the hot topic of cybersecurity and who's really listening and watching.
So, you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything.
Tell me everything, Lilia Fry, and welcome to Max and Friends. Pull up your mic.
Thank you, Mike. Max, I'm happy to be at your show, and I'm excited to share my knowledge.
You have a
how
lot.
How to secure themselves.
Absolutely. Yes. And you have a lot of knowledge. Now, you know, all of these things that I was saying before you joined us, this is happening in millions and millions of homes all over the world. So let's talk about Ring first, because I just want to mention to you, and, you know, when I was going through some of my social media, I had reached out to Ring about an exposed data breach, which was a direct quote from Ring Inc. When they replied to Channel 7 News in Florida, they said the email address and password of one of your external accounts was exposed in a data breach. And when I asked them about if it was in fact a data breach, they responded to me, "Customer trust is important to us and we take security of our devices seriously. While we're still investigating the issue and taking appropriate steps to protect our devices based on our investigation, we're able to confirm there is no way related to a breach of Ring's security." Can Ring be breached? Lilia.
This is so unfortunate that they basically blame their customers and they did not take responsibility for releasing the product that was not secured. And Ring does not offer basic security precautions, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, security precautions? What does that mean?
So, first of all, the two-factor authentication should be enforced. Currently, it encourages you to do it. But if you're not tech savvy, you don't know how to set it up. I mean, you have to go into settings and kind of do it yourself, but it's not forces you to do it. Another thing, the app does not verify logins from unknown IP addresses. So what that means is, let's say your IP address should be the one from which you usually access the camera, should be stored as the one that belongs to you. And if some other IP address, let's say from China or like Russia, is trying to log in, it should raise a warning and let you know and inform you. Currently, it's not doing it. It's not providing a list of IP addresses from which the app is accessed. For example, it should have the log of all the times and dates when you as a user logged in. And it's not showing it to you. That means somebody's watching you right now and you're not aware of it.
Now, what is the purpose for people to hack and watch? Is it curiosity? Is it to gather information? Why would people want to watch other people from your experience?
Usually there's a lot of different creeps that they have their own motivation, lonely guys that, just need to look at some excitement in somebody else's personal life. Mm-hmm. And another reason, they're trying to gain some info. Let's say if they have access to your camera, they can see through the camera if you're entering passwords to some your financial institution or something. So the main purpose is to gain some financial advantage. Mm-hmm. But if they cannot, I guess they will just try to like in those two situations that you presented, they just try to kind of, you know,
harass
just make
and
fun
taunt
of
people.
The situation.
Yeah, it's pure harassment. Now, what are the consequences for someone who does this? And is it taken seriously?
Okay, so the consequences, they're supposed to be brought to court and prosecuted, but I'm not sure about those two particular stories you mentioned, those people were even found.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, it was interesting because when we reached out to Ring, you know, via Twitter, those were the responses they gave us. It was never to the effect of, like, we apologize. You know, there was none of, like, the customer care that I think one would expect in a home security system. Someone else had tweeted to the fact that they said, my account got hacked too. The worst part is that Ring didn't even contact me afterwards to make sure everything was all right. You know, so how can a company that literally came out of nowhere, all of a sudden we trust this company to be our security provider, and then all of a sudden, while we're having security breaches, they blame the consumer? How do they get away with that behavior?
I know, because it's Amazon, and actually, to be honest, Amazon is taking over.
Yeah.
So they don't have any competitors currently, and they purchased this Ring company 2 years ago in 2018 for $1 billion.
Right.
But, yeah, and they did not actually secure it properly and release the product. Mm-hmm. So, and we really have to question, how do we trust Amazon? I mean, all of us using Amazon product on a daily basis, that could be purchasing on Amazon or watching videos on Prime Video or ordering food. And now Whole Foods, owned by Amazon. So they're everywhere.
Big Brother is watching.
Their Big Brother is watching. Now Amazon will become a Big Brother.
It already is a Big Brother, right?
that's right. And especially Amazon Web Services, AWS, the cloud provider, is number one in the world. And no one can compete with them.
Yeah. Well,
they're taking over around the globe. They're increasing their servers. They're installing their servers, and all their goal is to install around the globe and as many countries as possible.
Yeah, and it's happening. Now, you know, let me ask you, because people really are some, not all, but some people are really paranoid with all that's going on with home security. You know, and if we go back to the good old days with companies like Dictograph and ATD and all of those were home monitoring security, you know, where basically for those who have them or had them, they're hardwired. So a tech comes in, installs it, and then there's a monitoring office that checks to see what's going on. Now, would you recommend having an old school, let's say like an ADT versus a Ring system in your home if you're looking for a security system?
I just because of this issue with Ring, I would wait until they increase their security before bringing it into your house. Mm-hmm. So at this point, AGT is more secure. I would trust them. Mm-hmm. Even they're a little bit conservative. They're not modern. Mm-hmm. It's not the latest technology. Mm-hmm. But Ring is yet to show us how protected we are. And another thing with Ring, I want to mention that they allowed police to request users who use Ring to provide the 12 hours of video for the span of 45 days. But there are so many people were complaining regarding that. That police can request your home video in your private home, which is invasion on privacy. And after so many complaints, they actually updated the app where the customers can opt out, meaning if police request, for the footage of your video camera, you can say no.
Now, what would the circumstances be that the police would request footage, for example?
If, for example, there has been some criminal activity in your neighborhood, and your camera that is facing outside of your front door possibly could capture somebody's walking by or the criminal is walking by. So that's the reason when they could request it. But we have the power to say no.
Yeah.
And nothing police can do about it. So if we don't feel like releasing it, we won't.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's
it's up to us.
It is up to us. And it's up to us to be infuriated, too, by this invasion of privacy. But now the devil's advocate says, well, we've put it in our homes. So where do we draw the line of we're trying to protect ourselves, but now we're becoming, you know, independent investigators for the police department? Should people be concerned?
Yes, they should. And be cautious. Mm-hmm. Even we're trying to protect our privacy and increase security. So at the same time, we're opening a door for some other criminal activity, which is not from somebody knocking on your door or invading your home physically. So this is a virtual invasion from somebody in on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
an international scandal.
North Korea, China, Russia. Yeah.
International scandal. This. What got you interested in getting into IT and joining the Open Web Application Security Project of San Fernando Valley? Why? What was the passion and what gave you the curiosity to be involved?
So for me, it's to increase the knowledge of how we should be protected and secured by even utilizing the latest technology and just the small things by, you know, in increasing our passwords and just small kind of precaution would make a big difference. So I just realized that a lot of people are afraid of technology, and the main fear comes from lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But if you share that this is what you could do to increase your security, and yet not to be afraid of it, so that's what made me sort of passionate how I could kind of remove that stigma that the latest technology is not kind of simplifying our life.
Exactly.
So,
well, I'm glad you took the passion to it, because there's so much curiosity and so much lack of knowledge out there. And, you know, the only way when we learn to teach is, I think, a great philosophy. So when we learn teach, and that's what we're doing here tonight on Max and Friends. My guest tonight is Lilia Fry. She's been here. We've been talking about all of these things going on with cybersecurity and security and Amazon and Alexa. And we're going to talk more because there's so much to cover. So, Lilia, can we trust Amazon's controversial surveillance camera Ring with our privacy? Can we actually trust it?
No. Right now, we cannot. Just because they're not secure at this moment. Mm-hmm. And another thing with the Ring, all the videos are stored in their cloud. Same thing with Alexa, another IoT device. All the conversation are stored in their Amazon Web services in the cloud indefinitely. But of course, we're in charge of it. We can delete it. We just have to go into the settings and remove it ourselves.
Now, how do we do that? For instance, hold on, let's back up real quick and talk about Ring. Have you any concern that Ring is going to come after you for speaking about them in this kind of a light?
Okay, but I'm not the only one. There is a lot of people.
No, yeah, of course.
It.
No, I know. But, you know how companies get. Yeah. they all of a sudden, you know, the more we expose them, the more angry they get, you know? And that's why I had to read that statement that they wrote, because, you know, for me, it's not exposing them in a bad way. What we're trying to do as a consumer is help them to understand their customer and to actually protect their customer and not just think about selling a business for $1 billion to Amazon. You know, it's like together we rise and together we can really make our home security something that is valuable, where we don't have to be in fear of going into our own homes. You know, I think that's the biggest point of having a show like this tonight is like, listen, Ring, listen, Alexa, listen, Amazon, we want your products. We just want to feel safe having them. Wouldn't you agree?
Correct. Yes. And if they'll increase their security, if they're enforced two-factor authentication, and they'll prevent from multiple logins from different IP addresses, and also provide the logs of actual users logging in and see who is using the app currently. If they'll increase the security, then I would recommend it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It would be a great product.
Now, let's talk about real quick about what you were saying, going into settings and how. Now, is this with Ring? We can go into our settings and delete the footage?
Actually, about Ring, I don't know if we can delete the footage. I know that you can do that in Alexa.
Okay, so let's talk about Alexa. Yeah. So how do we stop Alexa from accidentally sending our private messages to some of our contacts?
Yeah, that's one thing that it had happened in the past. Mm-hmm. So to stop that from happening, means to change the wake word. Currently, there is a word you can select. It's Alexa, Echo, Amazon, or computer. And I would recommend to switch it to some other word, which we don't usually use in normal conversation.
Oh.
That could be some random word. And you can go to the settings and change it.
So basically you're saying, instead of saying, hey, Alexa, we would say like, hey, cactus or something, right?
Exactly. The word that you rarely use in the conversation. Correct.
Oh.
So that way it will stop from accidentally listening. Otherwise, if you use any words in your conversation, like Alexa, Echo, Amazon, or computer, it will start recording your conversation.
What about Google? Does it do the same with Google?
Good question. But Google does not store it. It kind of start listening, but any of your conversation are not stored. Alexa stores in Amazon.
So how do we delete that? Delete those recordings?
Yes. You can go into the Alexa settings, and it is possible. You go into the settings and Alexa privacy, and you can record the previous, erase previous recordings.
Okay, so delete previous recordings. And then, just to clarify, to change the word, instead of saying, hey, Alexa, we go into settings, and then from settings we go into where?
Let's see. You should go into, you go into Alexa, tap on device icon, tap Echo and Alexa, tap your Alexa device, tap wake word.
Wake word.
We need to find wake word option.
Okay, perfect. So go into wake word, people, and change the name Alexa and put some random name like your ex-lover, who you rarely talk about.
Yeah, that's a perfect one.
Someone who we don't talk about. Speaking of talking about, we have so much to talk about. So is it possible for crooks to hack into garage door opener software and gain access to our homes?
Yes, it is possible. There has been a test done by a company, McAfee. They provide the security software for Microsoft. And the test that they did with this particular garage door opener by Chamberlain MyQ, And what they did, they actually inserted certain jamming hardware. They put it in the bushes of the next to the garage door.
Mm-hmm.
And what that device does, it intercepts the signal of garage door opener. For example, when garage door opens, and it intercepts the signal and creates an arrow. So when you close the door, as soon as it's closed, you as a user receive a message that there is an arrow, that garage door is open, but in reality it's closed.
Mm-hmm.
So you click the button to close the garage door, but what it does, it opens it instead, because currently this particular device does not recognize if the door opens or closes. It only kind of just do it does the response as just movement of the door. Mm-hmm. And it does not make a difference to it if it opened or closed. It just makes the difference as it moves. So for this particular product, Chamberlain MyQ, McAfee proved that the device is insecure, and they need to create a code that would send the message exactly showing that the door opened or closed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have one on my phone. I'm going through my apps as we speak, as I have you on, and I have my MyQ for my garage door, and it says that my garage door has been closed for the past hour, but it never actually alerts me if the garage door opens. So I'm looking now in alerts. And it says I have no alerts set up on my account. So basically, I'm going to add alert, go to garage door, and then it gives me the option to say garage door is open, garage door is stopped, garage door is closed, and the option as soon as it happens. So I'm going to click on this now. See, I didn't even know this, so I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I didn't even think that this was an option. You know, I download the app, and all I care about is if I can open or close it, not when someone else is opening it.
That's right.
So people, if you have the MyQ app, go in. It's so easy. I just did it myself here, and I clicked that when my garage door opens, I want to be notified. So that's how simple that is. Done. Any alert modifications you have made will be lost. Do you wish to continue? No. Now, how difficult do they make this to actually save? Or do you have to do all of them?
That's true.
Oh, you see? No, it's okay. I'm going to figure this out, but it's not as easy as it seems, because now it's saying that I have to I have to name the alert. See, there's always one more little thing, right? Open door.
That's right.
You know, it makes it look simple. But in fact, this is an educational show. I'm glad you're joining us tonight, because there's so much to talk about. And people are freaking out. You know, I know, I don't like the fact that, you know, people can speak through Ring. But I like the fact when I'm not home that I can, you know, if there's someone walking to my front door, you know, it alerts me. And I have to tell you, you know, when I was doing construction on my house, it was a great device to use to make sure that my contractor and the workers were actually showing up to work, you know? So it worked out for me in that aspect. But okay, so, you know, I have my phone in front of me, and I'm looking at all these apps I have. And we're going to talk about, still, we have a lot to talk about. We still have to talk about two-factor authentication. We have to talk about credit cards versus debit cards online. But when I go through, my banking apps, you know, I have my Chase, I have my Bank of America, I have PayPal and Zoom. Are those all safe apps to have on my phone?
They are safe as long as you access them through your phone provider or through your home Wi-Fi, but never access them through public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I never use public Wi-Fi, ever. I'm against that. But we'll talk about that. But, you know, I have, for instance, with my Bank of America app, the way for me to sign in is with my fingerprint. Is that a smart thing to do?
Correct, yes. Use biometric authentication, fingerprint, or your face. Yes, it's better versus your password. Mm-hmm. Let's say if, for example, you're at public Wi-Fi, for example.
Right.
And you enter your password instead of fingerprint, then it's very easy to intercept it and collect your password. But if you're using fingerprint, then a hacker or attacker cannot see it. They cannot access it.
Now, let me ask you, because people are scared to use the fingerprint, thinking like, oh, now my fingerprint is going to be, you know, saved in a database and it could be used somewhere else. Is that a possibility or is that just like a wives' tale?
No, it's, the fingerprint will be only stored by the government, and especially it's going to be used when we'll be traveling, but mm-hmm. it's not enforced yet. But if it's on your device only, nobody has the database of your fingerprint, and I don't believe the phone devices are storing it. Mm. I haven't heard that.
Okay, we need to look into that.
yeah.
We need to look into that. Now, speaking of credit cards and debit cards, how safe are we using our credit cards and debit cards online, and which do you recommend we use? Or should we just not use them at all and use PayPal, for instance?
Or use even Bitcoin. That's actually safer.
Oh, really?
Blockchain, Bitcoin. But it's for another show. Speaking of credit cards, so credit cards, it's safer to use on e-commerce sites online because if the credit card is compromised, you will find out immediately that there is a suspicious activity and your card will be canceled right away and all of the suspicious transactions would be voided. Mm-hmm. You will not pay for it. And you receive a new card versus using a debit card for online purchases. The amounts that were suspicious were deducted from your account right away. And this is your actual checking account, which you're compromising. Mm-hmm. So it's very dangerous. I do not recommend anyone to use a debit card.
What about at the gas station?
Gas station as well. There are so many instances that people have been intercepting the traffic when credit cards are being used at gas stations that you can collect. Even, believe it or not, even credit cards, debit cards or credit cards could be compromised. One time I was traveling somewhere to another state, and a particular gas station, I used the credit card, paid for the gas, and then immediately 5 minutes later, somebody used my card.
Wow. Wow.
For whatever, they start purchasing things for whatever $100 when I was driving at the moment, I was not buying anything.
And then what can we do if our debit card has been hacked? Nothing?
We call the bank right away.
But the likelihood of getting any money recuperated is zero, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, with banks, depends on the bank from which you have a debit card from. Mm-hmm. It takes time to recuperate the money. It's not immediate. With credit cards, you don't pay anything. With debit cards, it takes time to get the money back on your account. And usually they stop all the activity, meaning even you cannot withdraw the money. Okay. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's speak about two-factor authentication. Do you recommend it, and how do we set it up?
So I recommend it for all of your accounts, and especially Gmail accounts. You go into the settings, into privacy, and there is the option to set up two-factor authentication, meaning you will get a one-time passcode mm-hmm. To your phone, and there is the option to send it to your email address, another email address or phone, I would recommend phone versus email, because email could be hacked. And there is another option to even set up a Google authentication app. It's a separate app that provides you with OTP, one-time passcode, for 30 seconds, and that passcode changes every 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit more advanced. I recommend for tech-savvy people to use that. I mean, we use that at work, and most of IT professionals do it. But for normal people, just using two-factor authentication where the code sent to your mobile device via text is good enough.
Now, how do you recommend building a password, creating a password? What are your recommendations?
So make it as long as possible, and make sure it's capital letter, small letter, number, and a unique character. And that could be whatever character. And one thing, if there are certain financial institutions that I read an article, some financial institution in England, restrict to have a long password, they recommend you to have up to 8 characters. So that is a warning. 8 characters is not enough. And it's also kind of easy to compromise that password. Mm. So be careful if certain whatever accounts you're using, and they're limiting your password to certain number of characters. I would just write to that institution to recommend them to increase security, mm-hmm. or not use them at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
The longer
the password, the better, right?
That's right.
All right, stay
yes.
with me.
And one thing, don't use the same password for all different accounts, because if your password is compromised, then the hacker can use it for all
everything.
Of your accounts.
And then Ring will blame you. Stay tuned. You're listening to Max and Friends here. My guest, Aaliyah Fry. Stay with me, because we have a couple more questions. Stand by.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. My guest tonight is Aaliyah Fry. We're talking about all things cybersecurity. We're talking about how to keep your home safe, how to keep your home safer, how to keep your account safe, and how to change your passwords frequently, and how to build a password. Oh boy, I'm learning a lot here tonight at Max and Friends. I'm so grateful that you're here, Lilia. Now, there has been in the news, I was reading on CNN Business, that y'all know Shark Tank judge Barbara Cochran. Well, she recently lost nearly $400,000 in an elaborate email scam that tricked her staff. She said someone acting as her assistant sent an invoice to her bookkeeper earlier that week for a renovation payment. And because she does so many of them, no one thought that it was anything suspicious or odd. So how do we recognize phishing emails or texts, Lilia?
So you have to pay attention to the domain of the email. When you look at the domain, look at where it's coming from. What I mean by domain is after app. There is a domain, and for example, maxtucci.com. So maxtucci is the domain. Mm-hmm. And if the email is coming from, let's say, maxtucci, and there is an extra I added after C, I, and an extra I, which is hard to differentiate. That's where you have to pay attention. And if the message usually says click on this link or transfer the money or do this and that, that requires your immediate attention. Mm-hmm. So what I usually do, I look at the domain. Does it look like it's from the person that I expect the email from, or it's from elsewhere?
Gotcha.
And those phishing
what does it actually mean? What does it actually mean, a phishing email?
So phishing is somebody is trying to pretend they're somebody who they're not, and they're trying to sort of throw the bait where they can invade your either computer or get access to your username and password, or they want you to transfer money to something, to certain bank account, whatever the link.
And text messages too, right? And also text messages.
Yes. Now they're practicing phishing through text messages, and that could come from government officials, could come from IRS, police officers, from Board of Equalization, from some
and that's
financial
all a scam.
Institution. Yeah.
You know, I randomly get calls sometimes where someone says they're calling for the IRS. You know, this happened to my mom recently. You know, and she didn't understand what was going on. She was at home. She just got out of the pool. She gets a phone call and they said the IRS is looking for her and that there was an accident using blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they found cocaine and blood in the car. And my mom is like, literally, she was freaking out. And then they asked for her last four digits of her social security number. And because they literally had spooked her, she gave it to them. And then she called me afterwards, like crying, like, oh my God, I think I was just scammed, you know, and then she asked some of her neighbors in her building, and they were all like, they also, you know, they're very convincing. Scammers are very convincing. And especially, you know, with people of a certain age, you know, they know how to manipulate and get them. You know, it's funny because when they called me, they said, oh, the IRS is looking for you. I said, what did I do? You know, and then I have conversation and they're like, what's your name? I said, Alan DeGeneres. And they're like, you're the TV host? No, I said, Alan DeGeneres. You know, so obviously right away, you know, I can detect whether they're scam or not. But for people who can't, it becomes frightening. And is there a way to protect yourself after you've given the information?
I would call the police right away and inform them and provide all of this source where it came from, the phone number, the email, mm-hmm. Everything, the evidences, the screenshots. Yes. And also it would be possible, let's say if it came from an email, it would be possible to trace the IP mm-hmm. through your internet provider.
Are people getting caught, though? Like, do the police really care, and are people getting caught?
Police should care. Mm-hmm. I hope they do. Mm-hmm. But the chance of getting caught, very small. And usually police is interested most of the time where there is a significant amount of money involved.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well,
yes.
And, I tell you. Yeah. So what is your advice? Stay off of everything, right? No. But all right, let's talk about Wi-Fi real quick. What are there any warnings when using public Wi-Fi, and what's the best way to secure home Wi-Fi? So public Wi-Fi, stay off of it. No, that's my recommendation.
Yeah. You can use public Wi-Fi, but as long as you're not accessing financial institutions apps and you're not entering username and password anywhere, then it's okay. Temporarily use it and make sure when you use the public Wi-Fi, be cognizant of any links or pop-up showing up. Don't click on it. That's how you can kind of intercept the traffic and hackers can push some links onto your device.
Wow.
So just be cognizant of it.
And then how do we secure home Wi-Fi?
So home Wi-Fi, one thing I would recommend to not use your internet service provider's router, which most of ISP recommend to use their router that is kind of included with your monthly subscription. I usually buy my own a router, which I can be in control of, and especially you have to make sure you have a router that is encrypted. For example, old routers, they have a wired equivalent privacy, which is WEP, which is has low security, and it's very easy to hack into. But the latest routers for the last 4 to 5 years, they had the Wi-Fi protected encryption. Mm-hmm. It's WPA2. Mm-hmm. So they're much secure. And when you have your own router, you can create your own network. Make sure the network name is not your name, and it should be kind of random word, but not Max Tucci's Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So that way,
I have FBI investigation. That's mine.
Perfect. That's the best name ever.
Now, and then, what about the passwords that come with the routers? Change them.
Absolutely, yes. So the router comes with the admin password, mm-hmm. And everybody knows that usually
password.
The username is admin, yeah. And the password is a password.
Right.
So you have to change it right away, change the network name, and make sure you have a password on the network that you know, not your ISP created password for you. Mm-hmm. Most people don't even know their password for their router. It's so unfortunate. You have to know it, and you have to know how to change it. Mm. So, yeah, be aware and find out from your internet service provider how to change the password for your Wi-Fi network.
Oh, my gosh.
Wi-Fi, yeah.
I am learning so much here at Tonight, Max Friends. I'm so grateful you're here. We're going to have to wrap this show up. You know, we were only supposed to be here for like half an hour, but I could literally talk to you first because I come from the school of when you learn, teach. And I think it's our, you know, if for me, for my show here, it's important to teach, you know, the listeners how to protect themselves from all of this that's going on. It's like, and it's not getting any better. But I want to ask you, where is security moving towards, and what's the future for biometric authentication? Yeah.
So we are moving towards using more and more biological characteristics, meaning we'll be introducing retina scanning, mm-hmm. Voice recognition, brain pattern recognition, heart rate recognition, and also behavior recognition.
Wow.
So, which uniquely identify a person. Mm-hmm. And it will provide more security. That means it would be very difficult to hack into a device which sort of extremely customized to your human body. Mm-hmm. Also, we're looking into the future where we'll have authentications that will be ingestible, like a certain sensor in the form of a pill that we'll ingest. It's like a tablet or something like that. And for example, you ingest that tablet and you can have secure access to a certain building. So
oh,
because
gosh.
It's in your in your body. So many things to look forward to.
So many things to look forward to. Now, all right, we're going to wrap this show up. But what's one thing that you want people to know about, you know, cybersecurity and how to be safe?
I would recommend to do diligence and do research before you buy any product, any device, and just read online if there were any security breaches.
Got you. All right. Well, my guest tonight, Lilia Fry, thank you so much for being here tonight on Max and Friends. I appreciate your time and I appreciate you being on the show.
And thank you, Max.
My pleasure. We're going to catch up this week. I'll give you a call because there's so much more I want to learn. So I thank you again. Have a beautiful night.
You too.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. I hope you learned a few things. This week, I want you to go into the method of when you learn, teach. If there's something that you've learned, teach it. Let others know about it because together we rise. I'm going to play a song for you here on Max and Friends. I love you for tuning in. Good night and good karma and take life to the max. The song I'm playing now, I Spy with My Little Eye. I'm your host, Max Tucci for Max and Friends. And the song, by the way, is Sharon Agati, I Spy with My Little Eye. I'm your host, Max Tucci for Max and Friends. Good night and good karma.